by DuckDuckGo. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cuz we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday.
It is National Pepperoni Pizza Day. What's your pizza order? Classic pizza order. Not your let's mix it up tonight. What are you doing?
I'm a big meat lovers guy, but like, say if like you're just gonna eat the, if you're sitting around watching football, you're gonna be picking around it all day. I usually go like sausage and peppers, or beef and peppers.
Beef and peppers is hamburger. Is that what that is?
Yeah, ground beef.
Ground beef and peppers.
The problem is I prefer sausage, but sausage gives me way worse heartburn.
I like pepperoni pizza. It's the classic, and it is National Pepperoni Pizza Day. People asked this crowd if X thing belongs on a pizza, like pineapple, for example.
Sure.
42% said no. It's a cliche. Pepperoni got the most yes votes of any topping. 93% of the people said yes. To say that it doesn't belong on a pizza is stupid. You may not like it on a pizza, but the idea that it where does it belong if not on a pizza? So anyway,
Italian sub.
Happy Pepperoni National Pepperoni Pizza Day to you all. However you choose to celebrate today on the radio show, we got GP. He'll be next. We'll talk to Gary Parrish next. Then Chris Harrington. And then it is Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We got a lot to talk to fishermen about, including a looming beer shortage, and also they've done a ant census. They finally counted the ants. Do you have any idea how many ants there are?
Is this in the world?
What is that in the world? How many ants per person do you think there are?
Oh, God.
Per person in the world. Just you. How many is? What's your own personal quotient of ants?
I'm going to say they've got us on average 300 to 1.
You think there's 300 ants to every person?
Or more. I think there's at least.
Well, it's definitely take the over there. Okay. I'm going to tell you to take the over.
15,000.
We will save the number.
The important work.
But we'll ask about the FedEx story, too. Like the FedEx, you know, had a bad. Is that a little bit of turbulence, you might say, for FedEx? So we'll ask him about that as well. We'll do all that in the second hour. So it is GP, Chris Harrington, and then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. I do have a certain football game that I need to talk about, and I will talk about, and I will delight in talking about. But before I do that, I did want to tell you that over at the Daily Memphian, you can read there is a new class to the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. And honestly, it is such a incredibly distinguished and robust class. It feels like we're going to run out of people tomorrow because this is the second. They had the inaugural ceremony and inaugural class. And then they tried to bring in a lot of people because you need a bunch for the first one just to go to get it going. But the list here is kind of amazing. If you want Tiger basketball from the category of Tiger basketball. And again, you can see the complete list over at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out. You got Gene Bartow and Elliot Perry. Like, how do you argue with that? Gene Bartow and Elliot Perry. If you want Memphis football, you got John Bull Bramlett, Spook Murphy. Two good nicknames there, by the way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
D'Angelo Williams. How about that? If you want the sort of a grab bag category of other greats, you got Lauren Roberts, Charlie Lee, and Jerry Lawler.
Sounds like an outstanding premise for a joke.
a golfer, a baseball player, and a wrestler walking to a bar. From the sort of founders or brought great things to Memphis or great citizens or whatever else, you got Steve Earhart and Fred Jones, one with the Southern Heritage Classic, one with the Liberty Bowl, and then Bud Dudley, who originally brought the team here, and Doc Prothro, who was an owner of minor league teams and whatnot here. Then, Grizzlies category. We got Mike Heisley and Lionel Hollins in it. This is the first Grizzlies coach to be in the Hall of Fame, and I think it's fitting that it's Lionel Hollins, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And then we have Missy Gregg, who was a CBU soccer star, Mary Lou Johns, who was, of course, the first hoops coach at the University of Memphis, and Linda Street, who was a great basketball player at the University of Memphis. And then they're doing a whole separate category of great high school coaches, and this is the first class for that, and it's I'm just going to rattle them off. Joe Branch, Derek Hunter, Buster Kelso, Ken Netherland, Tom Nix, Jerry Peters, Jake Rudolph, Terry Tippett, Barbara Whitaker, and Lloyd Williams. All of those in the class. So there you go. It's interesting. If I had to write a column, like, let's say, setting up the class about one of them, I don't even know who I'd pick. Like, who is the headliner of this class? They are... I guess this will go down as the D'Angelo Lawler. I don't want to elevate any over others, but in terms of, I think it's the D'Angelo EP Lawler class.
I think those are the headliners, yes.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to depend on age, but I think this could be a poll question, but I think D'Angelo. I think this will be remembered. If you have to narrow it down to one.
You think it's D'Angelo?
Yes.
Of course, D'Angelo in his time was certainly no bigger or probably not as EP in his time.
No, but that also speaks to the difference
of... And, of course, EP has been such a great Memphis citizen.
For sure, but it also speaks to the difference of Tiger basketball versus Tiger football.
Right. No, there's no question.
But if it's, you know, who was the better player is D'Angelo.
And then... Was EPA, what were EP's honors in, what were his college honors? D'Angelo was an All-American, wasn't he? I think he was an All-American.
Yes, I think two-time.
So D'Angelo was unbelievably good. Elliot Perry, they both had pro careers. D'Angelo's more distinguished pro career. Elliot is, of course, an original Memphian who then returned and has done such magnificent things in Memphis. Listen, it's impossible to splice these, to separate these folks at all. And then there's Jerry Lawler, who is larger than life, right? So, but I do not mean to give short shrift to any of the others here who are, you know, the Fred Joneses and Steve Earharts and Spook Murphys and John Bramlett's and, Linda Streets and of the world. So, you can look at there's a ceremony, by the way, that you can attend. I think I'm MC along with Dave Aloshin of the ceremony. And, so congratulations to all who made it. Again, you can see the list over at the Daily Memphian.
So according to Elliot's Wikipedia page, he was two-time all conference and then has his number retired.
I see. All worthy, and here's the truth of the matter. There's a lot more yet to come. There will be an equally distinguished class, it feels like, next year. So, but nice to get with this. This was put on the on hold a little bit while we dealt with COVID, and now that we can celebrate again, there are more. There's another class of inductees to the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. Yeah, there was a game last night, Jeffrey. And I'll be honest.
Even Steve Levy, did you notice?
I got a little crazy on Twitter. I got a little crazy on Twitter last night.
2-0 will do that to you.
And not only that.
Your team's awesome.
They're awesome. It's the they always win by double digits. It's their 20th straight double digit win.
I mean, I've read the numbers to you. I think they're now 19-9-1 as a double digit favorite.
So,
sorry, they are now 9-2-2 as a against the spread as a double digit favorite since 04.
This is just, you have to understand, this is my childhood I'm talking about here. And so to see Jim Kelly and then 97-year-old Marv Levy.
Yeah. Spirit of full disclosure, I learned that Marv Levy's still alive last night.
And thankfully, Jim Kelly, given that everything he's gone through, that he's still alive. And place looked great.
Ali and I were talking about this. We absolutely loved the let the kids out of school early for opening day. And then she asked the question, should we do that on big playoff games? And I was like, well, I feel like it's a special exception. Like, I don't know if they're going to do that.
I think they really did it for purposes of traffic.
Sure.
They really, because there was not just a Monday night game, but an early Monday night game. They didn't want school buses and whatever. Like, it wasn't, I don't think it was all over Buffalo. It looked like this was Orchard Park.
Sure.
Which let the kids out. And
still was cool.
Anyway, Bills go down and score a touchdown. First drive. It is it's the seventh straight game where they have opened with a touchdown on their first drive. Titans responded nicely. And then that was that.
Yeah,
that
once the that. Titans script was done.
41-7 As the Bills looked freaking dominant. They have now, against the Super Bowl champion and the number one seed in the AFC last year, they have outscored them 72-17 in these first two games. So they look just freaking awesome.
You ready for a big fact?
Yeah.
According to ESPN Stats and Info, in week one, the Bills beat the Rams by 21. In week two, they beat the Titans by 34. There have been 201 instances in NFL history of a team facing a playoff team from their previous season, from the previous season, each of their first two games. The Bills plus 55 is the largest point differential of any of them.
Now, the Titans aren't the Titans. Let's be clear. The Titans,
I do wonder,
the Titans
though,
are not the Titans.
I do wonder how much of it last night was just getting, like, just absolutely, like, buzzsawed by Buffalo at Buffalo.
Yeah, I think there was some of that, and some of that is injuries. Listen, Stephon Diggs was having his way with whatever he wanted, and they've got injuries in the secondary, and then Taylor Lewan goes down.
Yes.
They already have injuries.
It was a nightmare scenario.
When Taylor Lewan goes down, you're like, holy crap.
With Von Miller.
What are you going to do there? And so they're dealing with some serious injuries there, and so I do think that is part of it. And then part of it is getting steamrolled. And the Bills offense at this point, even without Gabe Davis, it's just pick your freaking poison. I say that they weren't even good on third and one. On third downs, they stunk.
Third and shorts. Yeah. They were not good in power situations, but I don't know. To me, like the theme of the night was the Bills punted for the first time.
And it was a trick play.
Yes.
And they immediately got the ball back.
Little did I know. No,
they mixed in a punt.
Exactly.
No, they looked
no one knew what to do with it. Guy couldn't catch it.
And by the way, as we talk about balance when it comes to Memphis football, right?
Sure.
The importance of balance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to look for bad things with the Bills, they still did not really run the ball effectively last night. But here's the thing. You know what they do when they can't run the ball effectively?
They just throw it.
They just throw it. After, the Bills turned it over on downs when it was in the first quarter and it was still 7-0, okay? They turned it over on downs. From that moment forward until they took a 41-7 lead, okay? From that moment forward until they scored to take a 47-1 lead, there were 35 plays. They had 35 offensive plays. Five of those plays were wiped out with penalty, okay? So there were 30 plays that were penalty was not involved. In 27 of those 30 plays, they threw the ball. Because their best player is Josh Allen. And I am not saying Seth Hennigan is Josh Allen, but I like the strategy.
Well, Jeff, in terms of expected points added per dropback, he is adding nearly half a point every single time he drops back to throw. That is first in the NFL. His completion percentage of 75.4 is second in the NFL. His off-target percentage is first in the NFL. He is seventh in touchdowns. His two interceptions is 21st, but he did, of course, not throw a pick last night. His passer rating is second in the NFL, fourth in yards. He's first in third down completion or third down conversions, first downs per attempt. He's fourth. I think he's the best player alive right now.
He was tremendous last night. Bills tremendous, and now they got the interesting though at the Dolphins, at the Ravens, next two games, and then.
I did not think I was going to be sitting here in week three and thinking the game I'm most pumped about is Dolphins-Bills.
Well, one of the interesting things is with Dane Jackson, and that was a scary moment, scary-looking yes, injury, Dane God. Jackson taken off on an ambulance. And so, obviously, scary just because it was a brutal game last night. Football is mayhem.
Well, and last night was even an exception because it felt like the first like three drives
there was someone going
yes,
off every
and you're just
and not in a good not in a you know,
correct
in
yeah,
a,
yeah.
In a kind of, it is absolute mayhem, but right now with Dane Jackson gone, Bills have two 100% straight up rookie corners.
Yes,
both their starting corners are rookies, and I don't know if you've looked at the Dolphins receivers lately, pretty good and pretty fast.
Pretty good, pretty fast. I also, though, don't know if you've looked at your defense lately.
Defense is tremendous. How tremendous is it?
In points allowed, Jeff, I regret to inform you you're not first in that category. You're second with 17.
So there you go. I was making the case on Twitter last night. I really do. I've said this before. My transition from Buffalo to Memphis, it went through, it took me just a little bit to get there. I spent 18 years in Buffalo. And then I lived in Boston, Australia, New York, Miami, D.C., and Alabama. I think that's it. For a year or more. But then found my way to Memphis, and it will be 27 years that I will have been in Memphis come this January. So I think I've put my stake down in both places for an extended period of time. And I'll tell you, the transition is totally seamless. Of course there are differences in places, and they're significant. Snow being one of them.
Humidity being the other.
Humidity being another. Yeah. But they really are, in many ways, remarkably similar places. And, in Buffalo, there was like, they used to call it the armpit of the East, right? Like there was someone who on Twitter yesterday said, Buffalo is an S town, right? And I'm like, how many times have I been told if I travel to any other part of Tennessee that Memphis Buffalo is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I been told if I travel to any other part of town that Memphis is an asshole? You know what I mean?
Too many to count.
Too freaking many to count. And so there is a reflexive defensiveness that comes from being from Buffalo or from Memphis. They're both smaller places. They both, the strength of the places are the people and the warmth of the people, even though it's cold in Buffalo and it's humid here. There's all of that. And now, interestingly enough, both of these professional teams are led by larger than life stars who perfectly fit the personality of the place.
Yes.
Josh Allen is a perfect fit for the personality of Buffalo. And Ja Morant is a perfect fit for the personality of Memphis. Honestly, Ja Morant goes to Murray State. Josh Allen goes to Wyoming. You know, like Josh Allen didn't get a scholarship offer out of begged for an offer. Ja Morant begged for offers. And so
he couldn't even get the Fresno State coaching staff to go to his JUCO game.
Right. And so it really and yet also you look at them and you're like, how could they miss on Ja Morant? Just watch him. And a similar thing, it's like, look at Josh Allen. Look at that hose that he has and then his physical tools. It's also sort of mystifying when you look back and think, why did people miss on him? Because they're not exactly subtle skills that either of these guys have. They do have subtle skills, but they also pop as athletes. And I really do. I think that there is a remarkable similarity in these two cities and in the in their sports franchises. And it is absolutely true, although I understand there are Titans fans out there and there are Titans fans in Memphis, and God bless you, you can root for whoever you want. I do not at all. Bennett is a big Titans fan, and I respect that, and I'm happy when Bennett's happy.
Agreed.
Generally speaking. But I do 100% struggle to root for anything Nashville. It's just true. And it's not because I'm envious that Memphis isn't Nashville. The truth of the matter is, I would not move to Nashville if you paid me now. Well, it depends. Depends on the price.
Well, I'm not willing to say go that far.
Like, whatever. It's because, and I was talking about this with a guy who's in my bike group. He does a lot of business over there. And the number of times that you are introduced to someone over there and you say you're from Memphis and their response is, I'm sorry, just makes me want to kick them in the balls. Like, it's the attitude of the state towards Memphis that infuriates me much more than, you know, that Nashville's, you know, got the draft. Like, that's fine. Knock yourself out, Nashville. But it's that is why I struggle to root for anything Nashville, and why I took such pleasure, and probably inappropriate. I got a little giddy for someone who hides in the closet during Bills games because I don't want to care too much. I probably got a little too giddy on Twitter last night telling Nashvillians to suck it. But it also comes from my long-standing status as a Bills fan, where I was there for home one throwback. I've witnessed
the illegal forward pass.
That illegal forward pass. And so, listen, it was a great. My larger point is, great night for Buffalo. But if you are looking for, if you are unaffiliated, and you are looking for an NFL team to cheer for, there is still room, and we will have you. And Aaliyah is, I'm thrilled that your wife is already on board.
Yes. So I had to point this out to her last night because, in the first quarter, she was screaming after the Titans got the touchdown. And, you know, there was a couple of times where on third downs, the, Bills didn't get off the field. And I could not wait till the third quarter to point out to her, her two football teams are 5-0. Not only are they 5-0. Granted, college football is a different thing.
Right.
The point differential is 201-30.
That's magnificent.
I was trying to explain to her, listen, your NFL team.
Wait, her college team is?
She's an Ole Miss fan. from a college, and right. they haven't played anybody yet. But at the same time,
still,
it's like
it's the 5-0 is 5-0, baby.
And I was trying to explain to her also, your NFL team winning by 3 scores every single week. That's not something
this is
I
not
would
typical.
No, correct. Do not get used to that.
This is not the way it is. This is not the way it is supposed to work. In terms of the Titans, the advantage that they have is their division's horrible.
Correct.
I mean, totally horrible.
Correct. They are not done.
They are by no means at all done. You could argue they're still the favorites. Hey, by the way, Malik Willis played after the hideous pick six, but that was just waving the white flag.
Yes.
That was not making a quarterback change.
No, that
Malik Willis is not going to be the quarterback here whatsoever. He was 1 of 4. He for 6 yards, he fumbled the ball. Whatever. Get his feet wet in a game you've already lost. That's all that was. But I really don't know.
Honestly, you know what I thought that was? Don't get Tannehill hurt.
And don't get Tannehill. Yeah, maybe, but don't get Tannehill hurt. I really don't know. Like, if you're looking at him, so Jacksonville, good last week, right?
Yeah.
Showed promise last week.
And I
could argue that it could be Jacksonville.
I still think the Titans are better. Like, I know we're prisoners in the moment, but how much differently are we feeling if they just catch a punt against the Giants?
Just make a field goal.
Yeah. Make a field goal, catch a punt.
You would be totally on schedule. You'd be
correct.
Whatever
you went,
else.
You went up to Buffalo on a Monday night, and you lost.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
And so that
they still haven't
made a
played
huge difference.
Anyone in their division yet.
Colts are in full crisis.
Correct.
And the Texans suck.
Yes.
So, like, who in the world? Like, in terms of teams that are confident, who has a better chance of winning their division? Miami, the darlings of the NFL at this moment, or the Tennessee Titans?
The Titans.
The Titans do, yeah. It's by dint of where they are. Now, there were some things that were troubling. Obviously, Taylor Lewan's injury.
To your point, Jeff, of still winning the division title, according to Pro Football Focus, 43% for the Titans. They still have the 5th-best odds to win their division.
In the entire league.
Correct.
Yeah. So, now, the offensive line is a mess. And the other problem is Derrick Henry. He was not good. 13 rushes, 25 yards, and he was hit a bunch in the backfield. But in terms of, you know, now they do this, how many yards as compared to how many would be expected
yards. Yes.
Expected yards. Given
yeah.
the carries that they got, how they unfolded, what would the average running back have gotten in that situation? Derrick Henry was minus 2.6 yards under expected. That is not good. And they need him to be awesome.
It's not good, but I would also argue, I thought Buffalo had an outstanding plan against him. And the thing about Buffalo, like, we want to talk about the Bills' defense. Jeff, they have a better pressure rate when they don't blitz than versus when they do blitz. And the reason why I mention that is they are completely controlling the line of scrimmage with their down 4 guys. And you saw last night, all they were trying to do is, it wasn't even like they were trying to get in the backfield and knock him for a loss. They were just trying to stop his feet and to get him from stopping going forward, and then they would just corral him. Like I do credit Buffalo with a really good plan, and further on, like, Lewan getting hurt, like, the guys up front getting hurt matters.
They have a guy who's starting now for them, who's in their five, who they dealt a 7th-round pick
yes.
to pick up at the end of training camp. Like, and that's what they're dealing with there. All right, we have to take a break. We will take a break. Again, in the second hour, we got Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, we have Chris Harrington will join us. But coming up next, it is Gary Parrish. We'll talk to him next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
to Prick with BetQL. The L.A. Chargers roll into Thursday Night Football against Pat Mahomes and the high-flying Chiefs as three-point dogs on the road. Here's a trend to think about when betting this game. The Chargers are monsters against the spread when getting points on the road. 36-16-4 in their last 56 games. That is a loss rate of just 29% when you bet the Chargers as road dogs. And with Justin Herbert and the Jack Boys getting three in Arrowhead, that is a trend that you should think about. I'm Trista Crick, helping you be the bookie.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, and Maria in Miami, Jules in Minneapolis, and Stan in Central Indiana. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a commercial building and someone tells you you need a new roof, that doesn't necessarily mean you need a new roof. Restoring your existing roof might be a better option. That's why before you do anything, you need to call 901 Waterproofing and Roof Coatings. Let Joe Stalnaker show you how restoring your existing roof can save up to 70%. All roof coating systems come with a 5 to 15 year leak-free warranty, so you get the benefits of a new roof plus big savings. Call 901 Waterproofing and Roof Coatings at 901-287-1923 or visit them online at 901waterproofing.com to give your old roof a new life.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. This is Jeffrey Wright inviting you to sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement of BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
How do you know I have three sons? You know where my three sons and I all go for our dentist needs? Of course we go see Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi. Of course we do. We have been for years. Visiting the Smile Center makes going to the dentist actually a pleasure. Teeth well taken care of for, and it is a delight to go see him. He and his clinical staff have all been vaccinated. You can go see him for yourself. Just call 309-1333, 309-133, located 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek. Visit SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Hey, Jeff Allen, it's a great day to be happy. Happy in a new Kia from Gossett Kia South Mount Moriah. What you got going on?
Randy, we'd love to make you happy with the all-new 2023 Kia Seltos LX all-wheel drive. Just $257 per month for 36-month lease and only $29.99 due at signing. Or how about a 2023 Kia Sportage LX front-wheel drive, $287 per month for 36-month lease, $34.99 due at signing.
That's what I'm talking about, Jeff. You got me happy, happy.
And listen, Randy, if you don't see what you want, no problem. We will order exactly the perfect ride for you, and you choose your own bells and whistles.
Plus, equipped with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah.
2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
650 acquisition fee, 30,000 per year, 20 cents excess mileage, zero security deposit, Seltos P738-6423, MSRP 25325, Sportage P709-8842, MSRP 27955. Includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Kia, excludes tax title and license with approved credit, see dealer for complete details, offer valid through 10-1-2022, dealer stock only.
Don't miss the fun of the Mid-South Fair at the Lander Center. The rides, the food, the shows, the music. Thursday, September 29th, see country singer-songwriter John Pardee. Separate ticket required. Get your tickets now. Visit MidSouthFair.com.
Progressive presents, Don't Do It Yourself.
Okay, simple enough. Just got to get in there with my screwdriver. Do you mind handing me my screwdriver?
Are you trying to say screwdriver?
Well, I mean, you're saying it weird, but yeah, sure.
Look, maybe we should bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big and pay someone to install this for us so you don't have to pretend you can.
I know my way around a screwdriver. Oh, yeah. This is going to take a Philippe's head for sure.
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Hey, I'm Andy. And every morning I wake up thinking about shaving. When I started Harry's almost a decade ago, the shaving industry was a mess. Flashy, overpriced razors as far as the eye could see. I just wanted a great shave at a fair price. Too much to ask? I didn't think so, and that's why I started Harry's. 10 years and 20 million Harry's customers later, we're still obsessed with giving you a quality shave experience. Sharper blades, a better lubricating strip, and making our handle grippy in all the right places? All upgrades based on your feedback. And it all comes at a great price. Seriously, as low as $2 per cartridge. These days, my mornings are a little bit different. Good morning, girls. But I still wake up thinking about shaving. Our starter set has everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5-blade German-engineered razor, weighted handle, and shave gel. Get yours now for just $3 with free shipping, backed by our quality guarantee. Just go to harrys.com now and enter code FRIEND at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FRIEND.
Consumer investigator Andy Wise here. I've covered my share of disasters, and I can tell you the people of ServiceMaster by Cornerstone are the experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. They use all modern methods to repair the damage, be it a home gutted by fire or a 5-story commercial building racked by storm damage, with a laser focus on getting your home or commercial building back to normal. ServiceMaster by Cornerstone has the respect of risk insurance adjusters and emergency contractors. It will save your business or home. Make the wise choice for disaster cleanup, ServiceMaster by Cornerstone.
Bev Hart here with Shaq from Homer Skelton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Millington. Shaq, I need some ideas for the summer.
I've got some great ideas. How about the Make This the Summer event going on right now? We've got great incentives on the new Wagoneer Series 2 and 3. Great incentives on the new Challengers, Chargers, Ram 1500 trucks. We've got them coming in daily. Folks, don't worry about inventory. We've got them coming in. If you want to order something, we'll get you taken care of. Visit us at HomerSkeltonCDJ.com. See why we're a bunch of normal guys in the car business, changing lives. Four tires at a time.
Now that's how a summer should be.
Football is here. It's getting more pleasant outside. Lots of stuff going on. And if you're the type of person who likes to enjoy a drink while you're watching games or just hanging out, allow me to recommend New Amsterdam Vodka. This is Gary Parrish reminding you that New Amsterdam is a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As I'm sure you know by now, it's so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. And that's because it's a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. What makes sense to spend extra money on any other brand, New Amsterdam's the best value you can find when you're looking for a quality vodka to enjoy. If you like flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam makes a lot. Watermelon, lemon, raspberry, orange, red berry, peach, pineapple, coconut, passion fruit, and don't forget about New Amsterdam wild card cans. They're terrific. Hard lemonade, hard tea, hard punch in a can, ready to go. As soon as you pop the top, you can find them in your local liquor store. Next time you're in a restaurant or a bar, ask for it by name. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web. NewAmsterdamSpirits.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone phone lines. The experts when it comes to disaster cleanup. ServiceMaster by Cornerstone on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Gary Parrish. Gary, of course, the host of the GP Show, obviously, the day from 4 to 6. He's a national college basketball commentator, analyst, all of that for CBS and the whole wide panoply of their platforms over there. Also has a wildly popular basketball podcast. Multiple Emmy-winning personality, rising star in the field of meteorology, joins me. Now, GP, how are you feeling about your Mets these days? And I ask you that because, you know, as someone, as a Bills fan, as a fan of a team that is currently flourishing, you too are a fan of a team that is currently flourishing. Max Scherzer last night, perfect game through 6. How are you feeling about the Mets?
Feel pretty good. I actually had this thought last night as I was watching Scherzer dominate, the Mets clinch a postseason berth for the first time since 2016, and then the Bills just absolutely destroying the Titans. Like, we are fans of franchises that haven't, you know, throughout our lifetimes enjoyed much success, and yet here we are. You know, DeGrom, he gave up some earned runs on Sunday, but, like, struck out 13. Then Scherzer comes back last night. He's perfect through 6. They have to pull him because he'd just come off the injury list. He, you know, they weren't going to push him
right. Probably
past 75 pitches no matter what. So, if he's got no chance of actually finishing a perfect game, you don't need to let him go out there for the 7th. Right. So, listen, I think the Dodgers are probably a better team. Honestly, I think the Braves are probably a better team. But if you get into a 5-game series or a 7-game series against the Mets and they're going to go DeGrom, Scherzer on you, you're going to be underdogs probably in games 1 and 2. no matter who you are, or at least something close to that. And that's why I think at this point I'd take the Mets or anybody in the National League in a 5 or 7 game series. It's because DeGrom and Scherzer can go out and win 1-0 games.
You weren't 86. What were you doing in 86?
Not 9 years old.
So you love that team. You remember and love that team. Yes.
Oh sure. Like I became, to the extent I quote became a Mets fan, it was a little before that. About the time I was getting into baseball, so the age of 6. So we're talking like 83, 84. There was only, I've told this story 1,000 times, but there was only 3 teams you could watch on TV ever. And one was the Braves on TBS, one was the Cubs on WGN, and the other was the Mets on WWOR. Well, everybody liked the Cubs just because they were on during the day. You know, they didn't have lights at Wrigley Field back then. So right. Cubs games were on TV during the day, like when you were home during the summer. So if you were a kid going to watch a baseball game, you were going to watch the Cubs. So that's how the Cubs developed a massive fan base nationwide. The Braves were just terrible, and the Mets had a young Darryl Strawberry coming up. They were the Jackson Mets in AA, so there was a Mississippi connection to it. And more than anything, they were just on TV. They were another option on TV.
Isn't it funny that the Cardinals used to have that because of radio and proximity here? But, like, if you grew up when you grew up, you didn't really necessarily grow up a Cardinals fan.
No, it was the generation before me that I think grew up a Cardinals fan, because then you really just listen to radio and you can get the Cardinals on radio. By the time I was a kid, you know, there was cable TV. It was just in its infant stages, but it was there. And there were only a handful of channels, but you had, you know, a Chicago-based channel, a New York-based channel, and an Atlanta-based channel. And so you had the Mets, Braves, and Cubs available to you fairly regularly on TV. And, you know, for the same reason my kids become a fan of whatever YouTube thing they're watching, because they watch it all the time. I watch the Mets all the time, and that's how I became a fan when I was a kid.
So if they go to the World Series, if they make a deep run, because I was thinking about this, I was allowing myself to think about this, what I would do if the Bills get to the Super Bowl, if they win. I was trying to think about the game itself and the parade. Would you want to go to Game 7? And would you go, And would you want to go to the parade if they won?
No interest in the parade.
No.
I just don't care about stuff. No. Okay. I've been to parades. They're not that fun for me. Like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is like, it's
hell.
Amazing.
Hell on earth.
First off, the main thing you'll notice, the floats are tiny. On TV, they look so big. They're really small. It's unimpressive in person. We've done it twice, and it's unimpressive in person. I don't care about going to the parade, but I will go to World Series games. Yes, if they're in the World Series, I'll go to the World Series, and I'll try to back end it. That way, if they can clinch a World Series title, like in Game 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever, I'll try to plan for that. I'll do that. Yes,
it's the reason I don't care about the parade part of the parade. It is for me. Some of it's, and I hear this from people who live outside of Memphis who listen to our station, or it's a connection to the place where they grew up, right? And so I would go to the parade to be around other Buffalonians celebrating. You know what I mean? Like it's not New York's not quite the same or whatever else, but yeah, it would be like a Memphian coming back to Memphis to be here, who lives somewhere else, to be among their people. And I would have no desire to go to the Super Bowl. That does not interest me, actually, at that point. It'd be too fraught with tension. But I might be in Buffalo watching the Super Bowl so I can, you know, overturn a car if they win, you know.
jump
through a table and overturn a car. Yeah.
No, I get that. That makes total sense to me. Like, honestly, a Grizzlies parade in Memphis would mean more to me than a Mets parade in New York, because Memphis is my home. And I'd like, you know. I'm a Mets fan because I loved baseball when I was young, and that was one of the teams available to me. I'm a Grizzlies fan because, like, I I'm from Memphis. I was born in Memphis. I live here. And so I want them to do well. And that would – seeing something good for Memphis, like up close, like a celebration of it, a parade, that would mean more to me than, you know, being on Broadway, in a confetti parade for the Mets. Like, if it's a thing, I'll watch it on TV, but – I'd much prefer to go to the World Series and have that experience, and then, you know, obviously, you know, let my family have that experience as well.
Okay, let me ask you this, a last question on this topic. We have discussed before whether it's better to win a title or to be consistently awesome, right? As you're a consumer of the Mets. In fact, if I gave you a title this year, but then they went into a period of real, you know, like Mets-ness, 8 years of crap,
yeah,
right? Wouldn't you, in fact, rather they be interesting for the next nine? It's not necessarily a real trade-off. That's not how it works. But wouldn't you, in fact, rather have 9 years of competitive, interesting Mets, particularly given that you consume them on a nightly basis rather than one title and crap?
At this point, I would just like a title. I mean, it takes a long time. 86 is the last one, obviously. So I would like a World Series title. Yeah, but you know, practically speaking, the alternative to that is more enjoyable for my life. Like, you win a title and you go, okay, World Series, like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to wake up and go to work the next day. Like, you know, I'll have a T-shirt that says 2022 World Series champion. So it won't impact my life that much. It'll make me happy for a moment, and then I'll just go back to living my life. If I had to go through 8 summers of uninteresting baseball, like, that would be boring for me, because that's a part of my life. Like, I don't sit down and say, everybody, leave me alone, I'm watching the Mets game for the next 3 hours. It's on in our home every night. It's a backdrop to whatever it is we're doing every night. And so I prefer it to be interesting deep into the summer or even into the fall, because I don't want to say it gives me something to do, because it makes it sound like I don't have other things to do. I find something else to do, but I enjoy watching meaningful baseball games. The great news is, I think option C, both, is a likely scenario.
Yeah. Talking to GP, you were not on yesterday, and so we have not gotten your thoughts on the latest turns in the Amani Bates saga. He was arrested and charged with illegally possessing a firearm, and a firearm that, by the way, had its serial numbers or whatever altered. One up to 5 years for the first offense, up to 2 years for the second offense. His lawyer has said he was borrowing a friend's car and the gun was just there, and hey, don't make such a big deal of it. He has been at least suspended for now. Your thoughts on what's going to happen with Amani Bates?
Well, I don't want to be naive, but let's, for the sake of the conversation, take the lawyer at his word. That's a plausible explanation to me. If only because I didn't find myself in a similar situation when I was at a similar age, but there was a moment where I was like, oh no. At some party one night, you know, I was young, you know, probably end of college or just out of college. And it's one of those deals where somebody's like, hey, we got to run to the store. Hey, my car's blocked in. GP, can we take your car? And, you know, you're young and you're, you know, of course, you can have my car. It doesn't matter. Take it. So, they, like, some guy just handed my keys to some. They were friends of mine, but they were kind of, you know, they were on the wild side. And they took my car and brought it back, and no big deal. But literally the next morning, I got pulled over. And I wasn't doing anything other than I, you know, went through a stop sign. But I had this flash into my head, like, oh my God, I hope those guys didn't leave something in my car. Like, not necessarily, I wasn't thinking gun as much as I was thinking a bag or something. Maybe they shouldn't have it in my car. But I was like, God, I hope nobody left anything in this car last night. And it was fine. They just wrote me a ticket and I went on my way and nobody left anything in my car and it was fine. But in that moment, if that would have happened, which was certainly possible, I would have been arrested for possession, blah, 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 blah. And so when I heard the Amani Bates story, or at least the explanation from the lawyer, I was like, okay, like, you know, we'll see. But if you take him at his word, that is a plausible explanation for what happened. And if you believe that's what happened, I don't really think it's an indictment of Amani Bates any more than me letting some guys borrow my car for an hour one night was an indictment of me at the same age.
Okay. I guess we have no sense, because we don't know the circumstances, we can't really weigh in on what's likely to happen. He obviously doesn't want to miss this basketball season as he is going through legal proceedings. He has been suspended for now. Thoughts on what might happen? I mean, do we expect him to play this year, not play this year? Does he? I don't think this is going to, it's another thing that's happened and it's not a good thing. But if he plays this year and he's awesome, he can resurrect his career. If he did play, and he doesn't play, or if he plays badly, he won't. I don't know. What do you make of all that?
I if their version of events is the truth, and there's no, you know, police work that shows otherwise, I suspect this will go away one way or another, and he'll play basketball, and he'll be fine, and it won't damage his reputation in any sort of meaningful way. It'll just be a bad headline on a bad day. If on the other hand, the cops come back and say, no, this was his car, and there's no reason to think it was anybody else's gun. Nobody's claimed it. They can't pin it on anybody. Well, then he's got some real problems, because then he's 19-year-old Amani Bates riding around with a gun. That's obviously not. If nothing else, it doesn't show good decision making. But you're exactly right. The biggest thing connected to Amani Bates right now, again, assuming the lawyer story is true, is that he hasn't been a good basketball player for a while. If you held a draft tonight, regardless of what happened yesterday, I'm not sure he would be a first-round pick. So he needs to go to Eastern Michigan, play well, and show the talent that had some people reasonably thinking he was one of the best, you know, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds we've seen in the recruiting era. But his problems, you know, he didn't measure well at the Memphis Pro Day. He didn't move well. He was really off the scales in a bad way at that pro day, and then obviously the basketball stuff didn't make up for it. Sometimes you can be dismissive of measurements and movements if, okay, but he's just awesome at basketball. But when you combine bad measurements with bad basketball, that makes things hard. He's got a lot to prove this year, and it's honestly why I'm not a fan of him picking Eastern Michigan, because you can go do things there, and it can be dismissed. I thought he needed to go to a program where he'd be surrounded by, in some cases, better players, get coached really hard, and show he could be a part of a team. And I just don't think that's going to be likely at Eastern Michigan, because if he is eligible to play and available, then everything's going to run through him. He's going to take 20 shots a game.
I saw you tweeted after Kansas's rousing win over Houston in football Saturday, something like, who would have imagined that the best basketball coach in history and the best basketball coach, the world's best basketball coach and the world's best football coach both ended up at Kansas. What did you call Bill Self, and do you believe him to be the world's best basketball coach?
I was a little more specific than that. I said something along the lines of, it's pretty wild that Kansas ended up with the best college basketball coach in the country and the best college football coach in the country. And it's obviously a Kansas football joke.
It
got a lot of responses, replies, because it hits on a few different levels. Like, people want to argue with you about Bill Self.
Yeah.
But I genuinely believe Bill Self is the best college basketball coach in the country. I think
who would be two? Like, who would be, who's in that argument? Tom Izzo.
Perry. I mean, you could argue Rick Pitino is number one. I could make that argument very easily. I think if Rick Pitino never leaves for the NBA, he's actually Mike Krzyzewski. Like, he's considered the GOAT. So you could go Rick Pitino, John Calipari, Tom Izzo, Tony Bennett, Chris Beard. These are all people who would get votes if you look at what Bill has done in the Big 12, I think it's like 16 conference championships in 19 years. I mean, that's crazy in a league as good as that league. And then, you know, now he's one of only two guys working with multiple national titles. Rick Pitino's the other, with one at Kentucky and one at Louisville. So I think Bill Self, you can actually totally reasonably, if not accurately, call him the best college basketball in the country. But you had some basketball fans who wanted to argue that. What's hilarious to me is that it's got to be pretty clear. I don't actually think Lance Leopold is the best college football coach in the country. But you would have these. I cannot get in the mind space of somebody.
Somebody would argue
tweet and come back and say, GP, I usually respect your opinion.
But how about Nick Saban?
I can't even imagine what kind of person you have to be to read that tweet from me and think, I need to remind GP about Nick Saban or Kirby Smart.
It's better than Leo. Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of people who did it.
We have a new class in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame that has been announced, and it is chock full of interesting people. D'Angelo Williams, Gene Bartow, John Bramlett, Elliot Perry. People can read the list and bios over at the Daily Memphian. I have tweeted it out. Mike Heisley, Lionel Hollins, Jerry Lawler. Like, it is, it's a big and distinguished list. One thing they've done, and I say they, I'm actually on the committee, but one of the things they've done is they have They've started a sort of special wing for high school coaches. And so there's even more because there's a this is the first class of high school coaches who aren't part of the general field, but also just made it as great high school coaches. And you were a prep writer for a while, so I wondered if you had any dealings with or any thoughts about Buster Kelso from Christian Brothers, Ken Netherland from Germantown, Tom Nix from Christian Brothers, Jerry Peters from MUS. Jake Rudolph from MUS, Terry Tippett, of course, from different places, Tresvant, White Station. Those are among the high school coaches who are going to be inducted.
Yeah, like I had dealings with, I think, most of those people. Like Buster Kelso, I played against and also covered, you know, as I got out of college. And obviously, the way it ended at Christian Brothers was, if I remember correctly, weird, or
yeah,
you know,
not happy,
but
yeah,
but like obviously an amazing career what he did at that school. Terry Tippett, you know, I first got to know when he was at White Station. You know, I covered his teams when he had Ernest Shelton, and then a little later on, Dane Bradshaw. And so, like, Terry was amazing and like still is. You know, I talked to him at some point within the past couple of years. You know, I don't know who's in and who's out, but obviously someday Phil Clark, the longtime Germantown coach, who is somebody else that I played against and then covered, and you know now he's like the athletic director at Bartlett. You know, when we had the Iverson Classic at Bartlett High School this past summer, I was on the sideline for CBS Sports Network and got to see Phil out there, and that was like as cool as it was to, you know, hang out with Allen Iverson and J.R. Smith and you know, Matt Barnes. It was, you know, I think my favorite part of the whole day was just catching up with Phil Clark and getting to trade stories with him and see him for the first time in a long time. So I wasn't somebody who was built to be a prep writer for, you know, a decade or 20 years. Like I wanted to go do other things. But I look back on those years, and I had a lot of fun. I met a lot of incredible coaches and people. And, you know, in that era, it was like Phil Clark, Tim Thompson, Buster Kelso, Ted Anderson,
yeah,
Terry Tippett. I got to, you know, cover all those guys, and those are legendary high school sports figures in the city.
It is amazing. It's an amazing class. D'Angelo, Lawler, and Elliot Perry, all in the same class. Here, GP, for your last question, and then go do whatever you got to do today. Rank them. D'Angelo, Elliot Perry, Jerry Lawler.
Oh, man, you're making things tough.
Well, you got to go EP, because he's your childhood. Like, ready? You got to go EP first? Lawler was also a part of your childhood, wasn't he?
Yeah, like one of the cool things about my career is that like I think I can now reasonably call both of those guys friends. And the idea
I won't make you rank them then.
No, I will tell you this: like Jerry Lawler is a larger than life figure in Memphis for anybody around my age. I mean, I don't think it's possible to comprehend for young people to comprehend how big of a deal he was and how big of a deal local wrestling was in this market. And Elliot Perry is like probably the first Tiger, you know, Keith Lee probably just before that. But Elliot Perry was like, he was Daryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden for me. And then obviously everything if he's become as an adult and a member of the community, he's just such an impressive, like take basketball, throw it away. He's just such an impressive guy that I couldn't have a higher opinion of anybody than I have of Elliot Perry. So, like, yeah, those two are great, and what D'Angelo means to that university and the city, also terrific. I'll tell you this, I don't know what ballot this is, but they should have been first inducted classes, whatever that was, because they obviously are incredibly important parts of the city when they were in the heyday of what they were doing, but also still today.
Thank you, GP. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
It's Gary Parrish. It's the second class. And it got to be, honestly, like, I think the classes, here's the problem, one of the problems. I think the classes should be smaller because we've discussed this with Kerr Harrington because you run out of people, right? Like you, if you had put in 20 in a class, you sort of run out of people. The problem is, like even now, like how are D'Angelo Elliott and Jerry Lawler and Gene Bartow, not first ballot, right? How are they not first ballot, but how are they not the first class? But you're making a distinction between Elliott and Penny. Like Penny was the first class. You
correct,
know what I mean?
Because you're comparing them to the first class.
And you're also not taking every Memphis Tiger basketball player. You're also taking some